Well, good morning. When I was first married to Bill, this Bill here, I used to do his ironing for him. I don't anymore. He does the ironing. But I used to do the ironing, and I used to iron this shirt, which somebody had made for him, beautifully embroidered on the back, this lovely picture from the Good News Bible of Jesus stilling the storm, and underneath it, they'd embroidered, "Even the wind and waves obey him." And I ironed it, and I thought, I'm not ironing that, because why should I walk around with a man with "even the wind and waves obey him" written on his back? Anyway, that shirt actually became a duster, because I couldn't even bear to look at it. I think you've been sitting for a long time. Why not just stand up, shake the hand of the person behind you, in front of you, just to give your body a bit of a woggle, otherwise you're going to fall asleep. And I can't have that. Okay, that's enough, thank you. We get the peace later, so you can have a longer chat then. It's just I wanted to get those brain connections going again. What a feast we've had already this morning. I just think coming to church this morning has been like coming to a wonderful buffet where somebody has produced the most amazing different types of food. Thank you to the band for turning the songs into just such a feast. So much that we learn from them, so much that reinforces our faith and our, you know, helps to galvanize us, get us going again. Thanks for the prayers and for the reading, both Harvey and Joe. Thank you for actually connecting us again with positive thinking to Helen. Thank you, Ruth, for that amazing account of how God is faithful. Just fantastic. And now you're going to have the crisps. Okay. Because we've got more to come yet after this. And don't worry, if you're worried about the football, you'll be out in time to hear all the sort of the news and gossip before the match. Okay, so 1975, before probably quite a few were even thought about, we visited Israel. And we spent a little bit of time in a hotel by the Sea of Galilee. Oh, I forgot about this. Okay. So they're old photos, if they look a bit grey, because we took these photos. One morning, we decided, Bill and I, that we'd go for a walk along by the Sea of Galilee. And this was the sea. Beautiful, calm, lovely. But while we were walking, it began to get really dark all of a sudden. Beautiful day, suddenly got dark. Strong wind blew up, and we hurried back into the hotel because we knew it was getting very dangerous, and the sea became really rough. And as we looked out of the window onto the terrace, metal chairs were being swept along by the strong wind. But within a very short time, it was calm again. Absolutely stunning. Then last month, when we were in Tuscany, we dropped into a church in Empoli. We just happened to notice there was something going on inside, so we popped in to have a look. And there was an amazing, very, very, very old fresco, very faint, of Jesus stilling the storm. Jesus standing up in the boat and the storm being stilled. Our reading today was from Mark 4. It's also an account that is recorded in Matthew and Luke, and it's a wonderful, well-known, highly visual story. The title of this talk could be Stilling the Storm, or it could be A Test of Faith. Test time, not a nice time. I think of our young people. They're being tested through exams at the moment to find out if the knowledge that has been pumped into their heads is still there for long enough to get out onto the paper. The England team this afternoon, it's a test for them. Can they remember the skills they've been taught, the knowledge they've received through those team talks, and perform as they're expected to do so? And for the disciples, I think this event was a time of test. Because if we look to the beginning of chapter 4, The first word is again. So this was repeated action. So again, they were having a whole day of teaching. And the crowds, in fact, were so big. In fact, I think, well, Bill will remember. I think on the edge of Galilee, there aren't huge, huge spaces. So the crowds gathered, and I guess Jesus was going to be pushed into the sea, so he got into a boat and sat in the boat and taught from there. So at least it kept him protected while he taught. And he was teaching these crowds about faith. If we look through the previous chapter, or through chapter 4, we can see it starts off with the parable of the sower, the lamp on a stand, the parable of the growing seed, and the parable of the mustard seed. These were all parables about familiar topics. Jesus was telling in stories using illustrations that would be familiar to people. One thing I do really remember from that time we went to Israel so long ago was every patch of ground was watered and they were growing something. A dry, dusty climate. But they were growing something. So these parables were very, very meaningful. I don't know what parables Jesus might be telling if he was here telling us today that would be meaningful to us, perhaps social media or something like that. But these were familiar for them. And what it says in verse 34 is that Jesus did not say anything without using a parable. He wanted to make his message clear to the people he was talking to. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. So the crowds got the main teaching, but the disciples were given the detail. Now, they hadn't been with Jesus very long. This was probably in the first year that Jesus was teaching, and in the first year that they'd been called to be with him. Anyway, they've had this hard day of teaching. I guess the disciples were exhausted too. And Jesus says, come on, let's get away. And the only way to get away from the crowds was to hop in the boat and disappear out. Okay, so they're in the boat and the storm blows up. Verse 38, the disciples say, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Immediately blaming Jesus. Come on, Jesus. We've seen you do the stuff. What are you doing? Now, when I looked at that, I thought, isn't that me? Something happens. What are you doing, God? Blaming God immediately. But Jesus' response to them was, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He gets up. He calms the storm and then says to them, do you still have no faith? They'd heard the teaching. They'd seen the miracles. And he was perhaps a bit exasperated. I don't often think about God getting exasperated with me, but I bet it's a daily thing. In fact, I'm sure it's a daily thing. But the disciples had been afraid because they were fearful of drowning in the storm. Now they were afraid because they were saying, who is this? The storm was frightening, but actually being with somebody who was so powerful was also frightening. They were still getting to know him. And for us, you know, as we get to know God more and more, as we look at the life of Jesus and we see what his life has shown us about God, sometimes it can be scary. What might God do? Anyway, why do you think the disciples were so afraid? They were fishermen. They fished on the Sea of Galilee, so they knew the sea well. And they knew how unpredictable it was and how dangerous it was. But maybe there was additional fear this time because they weren't in control. They weren't doing the fishing. They weren't managing the boat. They just happened to be trying to get to the other side. Maybe it was tiredness. Maybe it's because they thought, if Jesus is in the boat, it'll all be okay. So it was unexpected that a storm erupted. Now, these were people who had been called personally by Jesus, by name. In chapter 1 of Mark and chapter 2, they had witnessed healing. Also in chapter 1, they'd seen exorcisms taking place. In chapter 2, they'd watched Jesus debate hotly and contentiously with the Jewish religious leaders. And in chapter 4, they were watching him teaching crowds of people who came from everywhere just to hear what he had to say. Life may have been exciting. It may have been exhausting. They were learning about faith, but it was still head knowledge. Because when the chips were down, the fear erupted from within. When the chips are down, what comes out is what is the most deepest emotion or reaction within us. It may be fear, it may be anger, it may be disappointment. But for them, when the chips were down, fear came out. Now, if you're somebody who is struggling with fear, do listen to the Revive talk yesterday from Jan Humphreys, who talked about becoming free from fear. Worth listening to. Anyway, what about us? What happens to us when things go wrong? Because we're living in turbulent times. Harvey mentioned this in the prayers. We've got the issues going on in America with Trump. Uncertain, unpredictable. Putin. Uncertain, unpredictable. Other leaders in the process of being hopefully not elected, but could be elected. Again, dangerous leaders. We've got refugees cast out to sea in storms with no one willing to take them in, or very few. We live in turbulent times, uncertain times. Nationally, I'm not going to say anything about this, but Brexit chaos. Locally, we're asking ourselves in this church, and we did at the church weekend, what are we here for? Who are we here for? And personally, in our own lives, we may have big questions. We may have issues going on. There may be a storm within our own personal life as well. We live in uncertain times. And what is God saying to us in these times? Thank you. Do you know, I didn't even was aware of it until you came. Just shows. Because God is speaking to us through global, national, local, personal times. God is not a silent God. He's not asleep in the boat. I'm going to give an example from my own life about going through a difficult time, which is ongoing. So it's about 20, 25 years ago. I was working with Bill in his church, and it was exciting times. The church was growing. We saw healing. We were seeing lives being radically changed. We saw practical needs being met. It was really exciting. God was good. But in our own family life, things were not good. One of our children was really suffering. Anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. And it just seemed that nothing was changing this. The medical team just seemed to not quite know where to go with it. I went for help. Somebody said to me, well, maybe it's a family line. You need to have some evil stuff in the family cut off. I went through a process which was horrendous. Nothing happened. We had prayer for healing. We had a small group of friends who prayed with us. And I was asking God, why? Why? Why do you do it for other people? But you don't do it for us. why, God, why? And I was disappointed with God. I was angry with God. I was fearful about the future for our child and feeling really desperate. And we had a mission going on. We'd planned this mission to our local community. You know, we were going to save the community, etc. And a team came to work with us. And we met every morning very early for prayer. And after the prayer one morning, one of the team said, Izzy, I've got a... I don't know if he said it was a picture or a dream. Anyway, I've got something, and I know it's for you, but I don't know what it's about. And he said, I was standing, this is in his picture, I was standing at the top of a cliff overlooking a wonderful, calm bay. And in the bay was this little boat, just a very small rowing boat, and there were some rocks to the side. And it was a beautiful sunny day. And then the sky grew dark, and a storm came up. And it was a wild, wild storm. And I heard the waves crashing against those rocks. And I feared for the boat. And as the light came up and the storm died down, I looked down over to see what had happened to the boat. And he said, and the boat was fine. But this time I noticed something I hadn't seen before. The boat was anchored, and the chain was just the length to hold it off the rocks by a little bit. So I said, thank you very much, and added it to my different things that people had said. Didn't think much about it, and it was either later that day or the very next day that a very close friend who I prayed with regularly, we'd known each other for a while, a member of our church, said to me, Izzy, I want to tell you something. I've had this picture or dream, don't know what it was. She said, I was standing at the top of a cliff. And I was looking down over this quiet bay. And there was this little rowing boat. And there were rocks. And you know what I'm going to tell you? The storm blew up. She heard the waves crashing against the rocks. Storm died down. She looked out. There was the boat, but now she saw an anchor with a chain. I was amazed. My faith rose enormously. But it was quickly deflated because the miracle didn't happen then. Life went on. 25 years has gone on. The same struggles still occur. The same bad times come, along with some good times. But I can tell you, that anchor has held that boat, who has never been totally smashed. Damaged, but not smashed. God's promise remains. We sang, he who has promised will be faithful. When God promises, he will do it. And his promise in the Bible is that he will be faithful to us. We might not like his timing. We might not like his actions. But we know he who is faithful has called us. And he will remain faithful for us. Like a seed, like the seed in the sower, like the mustard seed, we need to be planted in an environment where we can grow strong. For me, this morning service, the worship, was a real strengthening to my faith. We were singing out together what we know with our heads, but what our bodies and our emotions and our spirits often feel weak in. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And I've a note written in my book here because I'm not very good on knowing what words mean. Faith is earnest belief, conviction that what is stated will come to pass without evidence up front. God is faithful, will always be faithful. And what we're going to do now is we could have had the worship group, but I want the worship group to also be able just to breathe in God's faithfulness. We're going to listen to Brian Dirksen singing a very well-known, well, no, actually, it dates me, this, but Faithful One. So just, you can stand, you can sit, you can lie down, you can walk around. However you best just receive the promise from God that He is faithful, and whatever the situation that we feel is like our storm, He's in it.